So let's look at the finding the purpose in your passion. And for those of you who want to share, I'm not going to ask everyone to share, but you can, I'd love to hear a little bit about what you've started seeing for yourself, especially on the second page, like connecting the dots. I want to help you connect the dots so you can really state a purpose statement clearly for yourself and for others, should it be relevant. But before we open it up, I just want to tell you a little bit about my own finding the purpose in my passions exploration. Because actually, this worksheet is the product of something I did for myself very early in my business. With you all, we're going to be reverse engineering it. So you have this business, we have these passions. What's the purpose? I actually started my business with the question, what am I here to do? And I got some great advice from a mentor. I'm like, how do I? She said, I don't think you know what your work is yet, was some feedback to me. And I was like, you know, you're right. I knew it was coaching, but other than that, I didn't really have a clue. And so I asked her, well, do you have any suggestions about how I might go about finding that? And her response was to look at my gifts and the accumulated gifts. And this is all about how whatever our purpose is on this earth, we have been uniquely designed, uniquely, individually, minutely designed for this work. I'm going to tell a funny story in a class or two about the book Finite and Infinite Leadership, or Finite and Infinite Games, because I was assigned that book in graduate school. And it goes way back. I've been like studying that for 15 years or something ridiculous. But it's one of the ways I'm very uniquely designed for the work I do today. And actually, I'm going to tell you a little story now about what I saw for myself with this finding the purpose in my passion. So I sat down and I brainstormed gifts and I brainstormed experiences. I brainstormed my expertise. And that's on that first page. And then I started to group things into categories and buckets, like items, like with like, and started to try to make some sense of it. And as I did, I started to see that above all else, what I have always been doing is making the intangible tangible, taking abstract concepts, brands, messages, light. I did a lot of work with light sculpture in grad school. Light, paintings, sculpture, even taking, you know, very fine, very abstract concepts and making them into that connectable, touchable, tangible, relatable word mean that another person can understand what we're trying to say. You know, there's that great quote floating around about how, you know, the problem with communication is the assumption it's been communicated or it's been understood. We assume people get it, but half the time they don't, is what I've learned. And so that's what I thought, making the intangible tangible. And yet, there's more. And that was a great start. It was directionally accurate. It was 3 years ago. I was on the right track. And one of the ways these purposes can show up in our life is in what I'll call a central preoccupation. That's that intangible into the tangible. That was kind of a central preoccupation for me. I didn't really talk about it. I wasn't explicit about it. I don't think I could have told you that's what I was doing before I looked at it, but it was the thing I just always did when I looked at it. And then I was at a workshop about 4 years ago, I guess, and it was a whole 3-day weekend focused on being more in the feminine. I think now is the right time for me to say, when I say feminine, when I say masculine, I'm not talking about men and women. I'm talking about the cocktail of energies we each have inside of us. And I make no judgment that one is better than the other. Part of the reason I am here to serve is because I naturally do an exceptional job and had some exceptional support balancing and combining the masculine and the feminine. What is most prevalent in our culture is what I call high masculine in women, because our culture values it. And we value it because guess what, folks? It kept us alive. The high masculine hunted for food. The high masculine built our structures and our homes. The high masculine fended off wild animals or warring neighbors, you know, tribes. If we go back to survival instinct, cavewoman, caveman time, the high masculine kept us alive. Make no mistake. So it has to be valued. It has to be honored. And if we're high masculine all of the time, it's not good for us. Goes against our very nature, our very hormonal cocktail. As a woman, and I use woman, not feminine, deliberately. And we need both. We need the masculine, we need the feminine, we need the high masculine, and we need the high feminine. The other extreme is that we go to a 3-day workshop where we get in touch with our feminine for the first time in 20 years or ever, maybe. And we default into such a high feminine that the action is doing and the results fall by the wayside. I remember about 3 months, I guess it was like 3 months after the first workshop, but before I went to this other workshop I'm going to mention in a minute, I asked my coach at the time, who had introduced me to this work about our masculine and feminine survival instincts, and he was being paid by the corporation I worked for. So we got results. So I got results. So he had a vested interest in not letting me slip into the high feminine. But there had been this crazy deadline that I had to meet, and afterwards, and I was leveled. I mean, like, I don't think I moved from the couch for 2 days or something over the weekend. And I remember asking him, like, Pete, how do I get a result? I couldn't see how I could take care of myself and still meet these deadlines and still get these results. And he helped. He was wonderful. And helped me start to develop a lot of what I'm going to share with you in this course, is how do we have it such that it's a combination. And it's like a left foot and a right foot type of dexterity. Sometimes we're leading with the masculine, sometimes we're leading with the feminine, but we're really agile, really quickly can switch from one to the other, as opposed to what most people do is they kind of get stuck in one. They get stuck in high feminine or they get stuck in high masculine. Awesome. So, back to the, I kind of took a detour, but it was time. And one thing you'll notice with me is I absolutely allow your listening to pull from me what needs to be said. And I have a plan. I have each class planned out. And I also have a bit of a loose structure. So there's always time for different paths or whatever shows up in our space. But I'm really flexible in that way. So back to the central preoccupation. And this is what was wild for me. And this is what I want to illustrate because sometimes this finding the purpose in our passion can be shrouded in things that we might not yet even know. I was at this workshop these 3 days, high feminine, very high feminine, actually. Beautiful, but very much the high feminine. And I saw for myself that the thing that I have been dancing around, sort of talking about, but never directly, kind of hinting at, intimating, has actually been God. In grad school, I made light sculptures. I made light installations. They were really, really cool. And if you want to check them out, you can go to lightspaces.net. It's my portfolio site. Very outdated, but you can see it. And I wrote a 20-page paper on light and why we were so fascinated with light. I was observing during my graduate school days, like, how funny and fun and uninhibited and exuberant people became around light, especially when light was moving, like if there was an animated quality to the light. And what I realized in this worksheet, that I wrote a 20-page paper, and I talked about how light lets us grow our food, how light means we don't bump into things, how light gives color and dimension to our world. And my mother has always been my best editor, so she was editing it, this paper. And I remember her saying to me, we're missing something. And I was like, I know, we're totally missing, but I don't know what it is. It was really hard to write. I mean, trying to articulate something so primal was tough when we were really trying to get at, like, so why do humans care so much about light? Why? And what we were missing was I wrote a 20-page paper, and I didn't mention God or spirituality once. I never made that connection that the divine is often referenced as light, ever, at all. Took me, what was that? I mean, that was a good solid 8-9 years after my graduate school thesis was written before I could see that. But I see that's one of the things I've been dancing around, centrally preoccupied with. Making the intangible tangible could be interpreted as, you know, making the divine presence tangible, making it, heightening our awareness of it. So I'm going to open up the call now, and I would love to hear from you guys, your connect the dots. I do hope that story was useful. Whenever I tell a story from my perspective, it's actually a very strong, powerful place to be, to just tell your story. And then I'm going to model something for you. I'm going to bridge it for you. It's called bridging. So that was me. Take me out. Put yourself in. See where you can see yourself in your own unique way in my story. So that was me. Take me out, put you in, and see what comes up whenever I tell a story.